apologize that I cannot speak in German. I can seem not understand N-word in German. And if I speak to you in Portuguese, it would be very difficult also, I'm sure. And what's interesting, when I was a child, I tried to learn Esperanto. You know, that was a kind of illusion that you had on a time in the life. People of my generation know this, but sure that here in Germany also, we try to learn Esperanto in order to communicate with any people around the world. And finally, I'm speaking here a little bit in English. But English is not a universal language also. It's a technical language. We adapt ourselves in some way to speak a bad English, just to communicate a little bit. But English become more a technical, real, internet language, industry language. And finally, after all these years, I discovered that probably the universal language is the image. What we write in image in Ecuador, we can read in German out of translation. What we write in image in China, we can read in Brazil. And that's incredible, the power of this language. And doing these pictures, I assume a compromise with the person that I was photographing to speak in that language. The language that the people came to my camera, like they were come to a microphone, to speak to me, to show themselves, to ask me to do pictures, to denounce their situation, drastic situation, dramatic situation. Many of these people that I photographed, they were in a point that I have no more coming back to them. I met people, for example, in Zaire in 1997, in one town named Kisangani, people that had left the refugee camps around the Goma. That was about 600 kilometers far away. They walked for 6 months inside the rainforest. And when I met them, they had lived about 250,000 people, the Goma camps. When I met them, they were about 110,000 people. About 140,000 people had disappeared, had killed, died, assassinated in the middle of this journey, long journey to arrive in around Kisangani. And when I met them, they were pressured, very strong pressure by the Tutsi ethnic group from Zaire. They were Hutus coming from Rwanda, and they knew that they would be killed. And what happens really, because when I came out of this point, we gave these pictures to the General Secretary of UN. We made the distribution of these pictures through UN. And when the teams of UN arrived there, they get 30,000 people, about 80,000 people from this one that I met were assassinated us. And what's incredible, because the people came to the camera, showed their family, showed what's happened, and asked me to show what was going on. Because they knew that for them probably have no more way to live, but in order not to happen to other person. Is this what you'll be seeing now, this show that is here? This show is not alone. We have 8 shows like this, 8 sets of this show. Now it's in many towns. There is one here close in Prague. There is one in Scotland, one in the United States, another in Belgium, and another don't know where more. We have so many that they are turning. And we create about 2,000 small shows, same pictures that are here. We had kit of posters, about 60 posters, that Lele, my wife, my friend of work, that designed all my books, that designed the show, that designed the kits of posters. We have 60 posters inside a box, and humanitarian organizations, churches, trade unions, schools, people that can show, that promise us to show to a group, we give them the set of the pictures. We create also a series of films, 30 films, 3 minutes each one, where we have 30 stories as a reportage inside a magazine, but with different, that's for television. And we show in many different countries that continue going yet. And recently we produced a film with an actor, American actor and producer named Tim Robbins. It's one dialogue between a writer named John Berger and myself, using these pictures as the base to show a little bit a discussion about globalization today. That for me is a deeply political show, deep political set of pictures, and in order to call people to look for this distress, for this big problem. And sometimes people tell that me, Sebastian, photographer of the misery, photographer of the minorities, I must tell you that I don't photograph the misery. This is not misery. Misery is another thing. This is poor people, distressed people, people in a big hope to get another equilibrium. They had all a house, they had all a job. In a month something happened to them that majority of them don't understand what happens to them. They lose their house until the last break. They lose their job. Completely changed their life, their social life. They were in the road looking for another equilibrium point. Many of them was come to Europe, come to Germany. Others going to the United States, others going to Japan, going to Gulf countries, very rich countries, in order to get a job, to get a way to live. I didn't met any bandit in the road. The guys that I met, the millions of people that I met, had a strong dignity. They were looking for another equilibrium, for a job, to protect their way of life, to protect their family. And in the end, these pictures represented the majority of population of this planet. Because in the beginning of the last century, 100 years ago, rich European countries, that what you have as European rich countries today, they represent about 18.5% of the world population 100 years ago. Today, a rich population of Europe represent less than 4.5% of the world population. That means these pictures, for me, is a sample of 80% of the world population, and we must respect this because figures are very important. Mostly figures of population, because sometimes we do movements in the name of the people, do wars in the name of the people. I understand a few names that Hans Hermann Klare spoke here, Kukës, Kosovo. We were there together. We came in the border with Kosovo, and we are there for a few weeks, waiting, photographing people. Hans made interviews, discussing with people. And we are having a war made in name of these people. Nobody was there to wait in these people. These people was crossing a border, really with a big hope to meet all Europeans there, to bring them to Germany, to bring them to France, to carry them to the United States. No one was there. No one. They came alone. They were there inside the mud, the cold weather, because it was very cold, raining, leaving the back of their tractors, and leaving the very horrible mad camps. Nobody was waiting there. We made a war in their name. We spent billions of dollars in their name, and no one was there. The war was a technical war. In this war, we were speaking about a number of planes that were bombing, number of bombs that were dropping, and billions of dollars that was costing. In the name of these people, nobody was waiting these people. And it was terrible when we were there, seeing during the day the rockets, these cruise missiles crossing. It's very easy to see a cruise missile because there is smoke when cross missile goes. During the evening, when sleeping, it was impossible to sleep in the evening because we hear planes all evening. And knew that in few minutes these planes will kill people. We'd be dropping bombs, billions of dollars, and nothing was made for this Kosovar people. And same when the war finished, we did very few for the people. The same example today. We are doing a war in Afghanistan. We have Afghanistan there. We have an example of Afghanistan. That is Kabul. Kabul is like this, completely destroyed. Completely. We are doing a war. We gave a credit to Mr. Bush to go to war of $40 billion to do a war. They have $40 billion to do a war. And we gave a credit of $50 million for added to the Afghan people. When you compare this difference, it's something crazy. When you imagine that the price of one bomber, one B-1 American, that is bombed now, bombed the night before, yesterday, probably yesterday again, is $200 million to build one plane. And we gave $50 million. They are dropping food, they are bringing medicine, they are assisting people just for $50 million. There is something wrong, really wrong, in the planet that we are living. With my wife, we are trying to plant a small slice of rainforest in Brazil that was cut in name Today I understand the name of the globalization, because it was cut. Why? To put in place cattle, to make the beef, for have a big reserve of meat. Today went to a restaurant, I ate Brazilian beef here in Germany, because you cannot eat most of the meat that you are producing here now, because you have the cow become crazy here. And that's a big serious problem, because we had agriculture here in this country after how many years? No? How many years? We had the peasant producing their meat and their milk going to the market. In a moment, in the name of the profit, we completely changed the nature of the animals, and we started to give it then. They were not more vegetarian. They become each meters. That was a nonsense in the name of the profit. And today, what are we doing? We are killing hundreds of thousands of cows. We are not killing, we are assassinating these cows. And that's a kind of nonsense going on in our planet today. That I believe that we must stop and discuss and raise the questions and put a lot of questions and discuss it in a country as German, as Brazil, as United States. We have how many women represent us in our parliaments? No women really represent. It was necessary to have minimum 50% of women represent us in the parliament. What's the percentage that we have? I was looking at statistics of Brazil the other day. Brazil has 6.2% of men's population in Brazil are homosexuals. And probably have the same amount of homosexuals in the women population. What's the percentage of homosexuals that are presented homosexuals in the parliament? No? There is so many things going in our society that probably we must stop and discuss what's going on. What will be seen here in this show, this book that we did, in these films that we did, in these articles that Stern published in Germany, Parimat published in France, many different magazines around the world published then, is in order to try to raise a question, to put a question. What world are we living? I just get one small slice of the problem. I just get the slice of displaced population. But we can discuss environment. We can discuss so many points in the society that it's necessary to see what society we need, what society we choose, what society we want. Because sometimes doing these pictures, I put the question if there is a survival for this human specimen, because we are a so hard, so aggressive animal, so difficult animal, so egoist, that probably what they teach us during 2,000 years, the Christianism, love each other as I loved you, probably what Socrates teach us, what Platon teach us, is wrong. Probably what's true is each one of us has a weapon in the hand and shot the other. Be the most deep individualist, get on for him and for his family in the end. Because I believe if we don't really understand the sense of solidarity and community, probably will be very tough for us to exist as a specimen. Today in the afternoon, we went to see very nice museum that we have here, Natural History Museum, and we came to look there, and we meet this fabulous dinosaur. There is the most, the best dinosaur in conservation in the planet is here in Berlin. And when you come to see these animals, how strong, how big they were. These guys lived for about 200 million years. There is now about 150 million years they disappear. And I believe that we are not secured that we can survive as a specimen. If you don't take care of us, the basic points, the basic points of our existence, our surviving in community, and will be very complicated for us to survive. I saw during these 7 years that I made these pictures, I was traveling 9 months a year. I came to 47 different countries. I don't know as many journalists that visit as many people as I did all these times, looking to this. And it's not brilliant. It's not fantastic what we have in front of us. If you don't really stop a moment, sit and discuss and raise the real questions. And the real questions are not only this question that we see here. Probably the real questions to discuss the problem in our street here in Berlin, in our neighborhood in Berlin, discuss the problem of our city, to raise the real questions, the society, and choose a better society to live. The contrary would be very complicated. Thank you very much.